Lord's house tonight. Amen. Whenever Brother Steve told me Sunday night I was preaching tonight, I was like, I had a lot of things run through my head. I was like, oh man, what am I going to preach on, you know? But I remembered that lately I've had a burden to preach on the fruits of the Spirit lately. I've done a lot of reading about it, and I've really wanted to study more in depth about it and learn more about it and see what it was more about and why we had the fruit of the Spirit. And I think I saw a lot going to camp this year. Just whenever you're at camp, you know, it's so easy to be a Christian. It's so easy to be somebody for Christ because everybody that you're around is like that. We don't have the world, we don't have the TV, we don't have all the stuff from the internet, we don't have all that, we don't have all those outside things, we don't have our phones. I think it's great that we don't have service up there. I knew as soon as I got service, or I went and checked my message on my phone, I was like, man, I really wish I wasn't checking my messages. I was like, all I'm going to do is get in touch with the outside world, and I don't want to do that. I noticed whenever I left, I didn't want to go. I wanted to get home, but I missed that. Because when you're on that mountain, you're separate. But we got to have our own mountains down here. We have to be separate from everybody else. Because we're different people. We're peculiar people. We're different. But another reason I wanted to preach on this tonight is because there's a lot of people here that went to camp. And something I see every year, something that I've gone through every year, is that I'll get on the mountain and I'll get on fire for God. I just want to tell everybody about what God's done for me. But then a couple weeks, you know, we're off the mountain and we start withering away. That fire starts starting to dwindle back down to just a little candle flame. And we lose that desire. And I wanted to preach something out that would be exhorting to everybody here. Something that would be encouraging to those that went to camp, to those that were here that are on fire for God. Because we need to stay on fire for God. Because we don't know how much longer we have. I'd like to thank the Lord for all the souls that were saved this past week. Because it was in the past service this Sunday. That was great. To be able to see those souls saved, those kids baptized, that touched my heart. It really did. It touched my heart to see those kids saved and to be baptized like that. And the parent of the kid that was saved and baptized, that's what it's all about right there, bringing people in and getting saved. But our scripture this morning is going to be Galatians 5:22. We'll turn there this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for another day of life. Lord, I thank you for the many things you've given me, the protection you've given me, and thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I pray for the service. Lord, I pray that the people here will have open hearts and open minds, and that their heart may be tender to your words. Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross and give me the words to speak. Help me preach with love. And I want to be able to be there to give the words to the people here. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Galatians 5:22. Get myself turned there. The verse reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." When I went through this, on my notes or my outline, I put each of those things of the fruit of the Spirit, I outlined and I underlined and put out a definition beside. I went in depth and wanted to study out what each of those things meant, what we're supposed to be getting from that. And when I looked at it, also I have in my Bible, my study Bible, it has some commentary and stuff in it. And I noticed something I never noticed before when I read that verse, but whenever you read fruit, it's singular. It's not nine different fruits. It's one single thing. These are all one thing that come with having the fruit of the Spirit. Where does this fruit come from? It's not something we just, you know, find. The fruit comes from God. Whenever we're saved, God moves in. And a side effect is having fruit of the Spirit. That comes later. I remember I listened to a lot of sermons on my iPod when I'm at work. I'll go back in the kitchen, I'll be cleaning dishes and stuff, and I have like an hour or two of time to kill, and I'm like, well, I might as well just, you know, listen, feed the white dog a little bit and listen to some, got some of God's Word, and I have some Brother Steve stuff on there, and my grandpa's messages, and whenever I do that, that's what I was thinking about. I think I was listening to Brother Steve's message, and he was talking about a divine nature, how we have a divine nature once we're saved. But it's not something that just keeps, you know, grows by itself. It's something that we have to cultivate. It's something that we have to do on our own to help make that plant grow. And once you're saved, your body becomes a temple of God. God moves in. He lives inside of you. And that's when all the arguments come in about, you know, you're living for Christ, and whenever you're faced with all the things of this world, and you have all these extra things that people say that are so great and they're so good, and the devil throws these things at you. He wants you to fall by the wayside. The Spirit, it's impossible to have these things that this verse talks about without the Spirit of God in you. The first one I was going to look at is love. Love is very special. The special kind of love that God puts in you. Before I was saved, I didn't have that kind of love. I've noticed the difference in myself. Since I surrendered to preach, my desires are different. I mean, I thought I was close to the Lord, but whenever I surrendered to the preach, I was forced to become closer and closer to the Lord because I studied and prayed so much more. I thought I prayed a lot. I didn't. I thought I read a lot, but I didn't. But whenever I started reading and learning about God, He changed my desires. Like, we're seeing the kids downstairs. It touches my heart to see them here because they're lost souls. Their souls are hanging in the balance. They're going to either heaven or hell. And their parents, like, that they came here, some of the parents that came, they're lost. Half of them don't even know who God is. Joseph was telling me that some of the kids came in and said, "Who's God?" And it breaks my heart to see kids that are brought up and don't know who God is. They don't see His glory that we know. I thank God every day for being raised in a Christian home. I could have been put anywhere in the thousands of homes. I've been born into the thousands of families out there, millions of families, and God placed me in that certain home for a reason. And I thank Him every day for that. And the next one I wanted to look at is joy. Now, I was in the Webster's Dictionary I was looking in, it's from 1828, and it has references back to the King James Bible, which I love. It says, the passion or emotion excited about the acquisition or expectation of good. Now, God gave me joy. He's given me a happiness. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's how I have the strength to go on. That's how I can be a Christian and not be afraid. Because God has given me the strength to. I have that happiness. The next one is peace. Peace, in a general sense, a state of quiet and tranquility, freedom of disturbance or agitation, applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. God has given me this certain thing called peace. The peace in my soul that I know where I'm going when I die. The peace in my soul that I know that God called me to the ministry. The peace in my soul that I'm supposed to be telling other people about God. The next thing in the verse where it talks about long suffering, I've heard it put that we're supposed to suffer long. We're supposed to go for however long we need. You know, we don't know how much long we're going to have on this earth. That's why we have to have long suffering. Another one is gentleness. The dictionary said it's softness of manners, being kind, having that disposition that when other people see you, they see you as a person of a gentle nature. Somebody that can come to you because they know how you are. The next one's faith. Faith in God. I have faith in God. Faith means trust. I trust God with all my heart. I'd rather put my trust in God than anything else. Because He's the one who created this planet. I noticed when I was at camp, we took a little hike up to the mountain to retrieve a Bible, and it wasn't up there, but it was all dark. And it was so dark there was no lights, and all you could see was the stars. And you look up, you feel so small. it really puts you back in your place, and you're thinking like, man, I really am kind of pathetic. I think my schedule, everything I do, I think my life is so important. But when I look up at the stars, it puts everything back into where I'm supposed to be at, back into position. Because I'm really so small. But yet, God's got a plan for my life, just like He has for yours. Next one's temperance. It's like your temperament. It says, a calm, serene temper of mind, not easily ruffled or provoked. We need to be like that. We need to be able to go against opposition and not get all mad and everything, turn to the flesh and react how the flesh would. We want to be like how God would want us to be. And I've noticed that these things that this verse talks about, that it comes more and more and more the more you study and pray. The more you study and pray, the more you become like that. I was saved whenever I was 13 or 14, I was saved. And I was saved. I had peace and all that, but I wasn't as close. I mean, I was at a point, but then I started getting around all my friends and going back to school and seeing all the things there at school and out in the world and things and music and things you read. And those things brought me back, kind of tried to put my fire out. It was like an extinguisher on my fire I had going. And it's just, this world will bring you down. This world will bring you down because the God of this world is Satan. He runs this show here. There's nothing we can do about that but to live for Christ. I noticed, me and Joseph, we spent a lot of time together this week and we played some video games and stuff, and I was thinking, we were playing, there's this Call of Duty game we play, and it's, you know, about war and everything. And I was thinking, I was watching Joseph play it, I was like, you know, it reminds me a lot of life. When you're out in life, life's like a battlefield, literally. You're having these bullets shot at you from every direction. And if you're a Christian, you have the whole armor of God on, you should be able to deflect those bullets. But the question is, do we have on all the armor of God? Because if you're missing one part, you're vulnerable. You're going to be able to be hit. You have to have the right weapons. You have to have been studied up and prayed and be close to God, be able to turn to Him for strength. Because we don't have the strength. We do not have the strength. If you would, I'm going to turn to Ephesians 5 and look in verse 8. I'm going to read a few passages here. And it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In verse 8, it says sometimes. I did a word study on that, and sometimes means in past times. So we were in darkness. Before we had God, we were in darkness because we were in this world. But it goes on to say, but now are ye light in the Lord. We are light in the Lord. That's where we get our light from, is the Lord. We can't get anywhere else. We can't get it from this world because it's light dark, or this world is dark. In the next statement, it's a whole complete statement that says, as a command, walk as children of the light. If you're of Christ, it says to walk as children of the light. In verse 9 it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Notice there's nothing corrupt that comes from that. It says, with all goodness and righteousness. Righteousness means to be morally right. There's no wrong there. In verse 10 it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I remember that word proving. I was teaching a lesson over David and Goliath. And David was putting on Saul's armor and everything, and he said he put it off of him because he had not proved it. And I did not know what that word meant. And kind of a commercial break here. That's another thing I like about the King James Version Bible, is it makes you study. Because a lot of times I've noticed whenever I go and there's something I really understand, I'll read right over it and I won't pay any attention to it. But just like here, every time I see that word, that sticks in my head. That I remember that. And it says proving. Proving means to experience. You've done it before. It's what you're going to be doing. And it says proving what is acceptable in the Lord. So you have experience. And you know what is acceptable to the Lord. You know what is right. You know what is wrong. In verse 11 it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I've noticed growing, you know, growing up, going through school, I've already graduated, so I know exactly what's in school. I know exactly how some of the kids that are there are. I've been around them long enough. I know how corrupt they are. A lot of them have never grown up in church. A lot of them have been in church, say they're saved, join a church somewhere, and then they get in high school or go through high school, and they completely turn off to God. They go out and start partying and drinking, and that's what half of them do. It can be done. You can go through school and live for Christ, but it's hard. You have to be close to Him. But it says here, in verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with them. We're not, have no fellowship with the works of darkness. We're not supposed to be partaking in those things. We're not supposed to be doing what they do, because we're different. We're in the light, and they're in the dark. But we need to minister grace into them. Tell them about Jesus, what they've done. That doesn't mean we go and hang out with them all the time. Because you know what? Iron sharpens iron. I thought, well, I can live for Christ and still hang out with them, you know, and still be a Christian. But then I found out that the flesh is weak. We give in. We think we're tough. We think we can live for Christ and be around sin, but that's when I learned how weak I really am and how much I need to lean towards God. I found out I have a lot less friends than I thought I had when it comes to having Christian friends. I have about two or three, and half of them are my cousins. But it goes on in verse 12, it says, For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I mean, it's saying here that stuff is so bad that they don't even want to talk about it. We're not supposed to even be talking about those things, much less have fellowship with those things. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You know, I was telling Joseph the other day, or the other night we were reading, we got real late, and right before we go to bed, we always, you know, get our Bibles open and read before we go to bed, and I was sitting there at the desk, I was like, man, Joseph, every time I read this book, it just hits me. I'm like, man, that is some good stuff right there. I love this book because it's so full of information and wisdom. And this verse says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You know what's bad by what God says about it, by what the Bible says about it. We know what it is. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If we'll get up and try to live for Christ, He'll help us. If we make that effort to do it, He will help us. He's promised that to us. There's a lot of things that are not fruits of the Spirit. There's a lot of things that we go through life and we see these things that are of the world. I was looking at the Christian life, and I've grown up on a farm, and I've grown up in ag. All through high school, I was in FFA and learned all about agriculture and all that stuff. And I saw the Christian life like a plant. You know, when that seed's planted and it's watered and it starts growing, that seed starts taking root. The seed tries to ground itself. And then it tries to break to the surface, try to get those first leaves up so it can make food for itself. But that, it reminds me of how the Christian life is. The Christian life starts off as that seed. It starts off being watered and it starts to grow. But how many times do we get on fire for Christ and we're watered and we start taking root, and that hardest part is trying to break through that surface, but we don't have that strength because we're not leaning on God. That we can't take the environment. If you're not leaning on God, that plant can't take the environment. It takes God. It takes God's constant watering. It needs that nutrition. If we don't get the nutrition, that plant will die. It'll wither away. And it'll fall by the wayside, just like a Christian can. it can fall, they can fall by the wayside. And I've seen so many of my friends, so many people that I know that claim to be good Christians, and they say that do all these things, but they fall by the wayside. Now, once a plant starts to grow, once it's fully matured, it starts producing fruit. That's where Galatians 5:22 comes in. I've noticed I didn't get to that point to where I was really growing and seeing fruit in my own life. I mean, I was a good kid, but I was down on myself because I knew what was good and what was not. I was growing and maturing. I don't think I really got mature until right before I got called to ministry. And I was saved for how many years? About 4 years I was already saved. But it took me that long to be, and for the Lord to show me that I need to grow up. I needed to start learning about God. There are some things that are not fruits of the Spirit that the children of God fall into. I've seen it time and time again. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour." See, the devil's smart. The devil is very smart. We always make jokes, you know, he's that guy with the pitchfork and the little pointed tail and everything, and that, oh, he can't mess with me. I've thought that before. And I learned real fast that he's a lot bigger than I am. He was second unto God. But the verse says to be sober, be vigilant. We're supposed to have our right minds and be aware of danger. Be aware of what the devil is setting traps at their force. Once you're saved, the devil becomes your number one enemy. I want you to look at how a lion hunts. How does a lion hunt? The lion hunts down the weak and the young. Young would be new Christians. People that are babes in Christ. People that have just been born again. People that have just been saved and they don't have that grounding yet. The roots haven't really taken place. They're still trying to learn about God and still trying to get their roots dug deep to where whenever opposition comes, they can take it. And the weak would be ones that they have been in the Word, they have been right with God, but they're falling out of it. They're falling out of God's will. They're falling out of doing what the Lord wants them to do, so they're weaker. They can't stand up against God, or they can't stand up against the devil. So, Satan goes for them. That's what Satan thrives off of. He doesn't go for the strongest animals out on the plain. The lion doesn't go for the strongest, biggest zebra out there on the plain because it can't take it down as good. It takes it so much more time and so much longer to take it down because it's not strong enough. It's the same with Christians. I've talked to Dad about this stuff. It's really hard to preach against the devil sometimes because the next week he'll make you live every bit of it. I've learned that a couple times already. Everything I preached over that past Sunday, he's made me go through it. And there's some things, I've seen some preachers get fired up and shoot down about the devil and everything. And I was talking to Dad, I was like, well, why is it they can do that so much easier? And he goes, well, they're stronger. They're mature. They've been in the Lord so much longer and it's easier for them to do. They're able to deflect those fiery darts so much easier. Another thing that Satan uses, like a lion, is camouflage. He's a deceiver. He will deceive you. He can deceive those Christians. He wants people that are excited and on fire for God, you've got a target on your back. If you're not excited and on fire for God telling the people about God, He don't want you. He has no use for shooting you down. That's just wasting His time because you're already where He wants you to be. He can't get your soul, but you're not doing anything for God. So when you get on fire for Christ, that's whenever you're evangelizing and winning souls to Christ. Once he gets you on the wayside, it's a little bit harder to get back. I've noticed that the devil likes to do that. Like I said a while ago, I've seen so many people that's fallen that way. But there's things in this world that I've seen them that fall by the wayside, things that, examples of that, that are not fruits of the Spirit. The things that Satan uses to go by the wayside and get you off the straight and narrow. See, God has this, has a path paved for you already. The question is, are you going to stay on it or not? I've talked to my grandpapa a lot. I learned a lot from him. He's my pastor back in Murray. And he's teaching me a lot of doctrinal stuff and all that, and training and whatever. And there's a thing that he always tells me. There's three things that mold you. One is music. The kind of music you listen to. Music is one of the number one things I spend most of my time with. Besides, you know, praying and reading my Bible like I should. But I listen to music all the time. And I haven't noticed this as much. I used to listen to a lot of rap and all that stuff, and I thought, well, it is, I like the beat and all that stuff, but then I started listening to what them words really say. What are them words really meaning? And most of the music today is about drinking and sex and all that stuff. That's all it's about. It's about the world. And whatever, I feel bad when I listen to that stuff. I flip into the radio and it comes on, I'm like, I used to like that song. I start listening to it and I'm like, man, this song is nasty. All the evil stuff in the song. I can't handle it anymore. It eats me up inside. I don't like it no more. The next thing that helps mold you is your friends. The people you hang out with. Like I said a while ago, iron sharpeneth iron. That is so true. Whenever I first got into high school, I was still that strong Christian. I've been reading my Bible and everything like I should, but I started hanging out with the wrong kids. That'll get you in trouble faster than anything. Started hanging out with them, I was like, well, like I was saying earlier, I can hang out with them and still be good, you know. But then, they used to be good kids. A lot of my friends used to be good kids until I got in high school. A lot of them started doing the partying thing. A lot of them started drinking. Half of them, I don't know, I don't have probably a single one, but maybe three or four that still have the virginity. That's all they live for. And it's temporary things. Sin has its pleasure for a season, but after that, what's next? What's next after that? The friends will make you or break you. That's why I've really found out who my true friends are. And the third thing that will help mold you, or that molds you, is things you read, or things you spend your time on, like the internet or something. The things you do with that, you spend your time with, and you're engrossed with, mold you. The things of this world are not of God. They're of the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to look at verse 3 and 4. And it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we're not living like Christians, people won't know. People won't know. Half the people I've been around, some of them that don't know who Christ is, don't know the gospel story, they won't ever know unless they receive me being different. I would want them to see me and be like, hey, I want that. I want what they have. And in verse 4 it says, and whom the God of this world hath blinded, and the minds of them which believest not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This me living may be the only gospel they ever see. That's why it's so important for me to live that way. You see, people, they're funny. I've come to see since I've surrendered some of the excuses I've heard from people. When I've tried to witness into people, I've tried to invite them to church, some of the most sorry stuff that's so stupid, they make up excuses. Well, I'll do it another day. Well, I don't really want to come. All these things, but, you know, one of these days, they're going to wish they had made that decision to come to church. One of these days, they're going to wish they had listened to me, or listened to one of y'all, and listened about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Because it's so important. It really is. It's very important. The world cannot see our fruits and what they do for us, unless we live for them or live with them. In Proverbs 8:13 it says, for the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way do I hate. He can't stand that. God can't stand sin. And we're supposed to be that way. We're supposed to, whenever you see sin and stuff, you're supposed to be completely turned off to it. The more you grow in Christ, the more you'll be that way. The stronger you'll be. That's why I encourage you so much to read and study like you should. The way God wants you to. We're supposed to put on Christ, literally. John says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus paid that price for all of us. I want other people to know about it. I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. Because what difference is it going to make in eternity? That would have been fun going to that party. Who cares? What difference is it going to make in eternity? Because one of these days, we're all going to die. And the ones that are lost are going to face judgment. They're going to have to pay for those sins that they've done. They're going to wish they hadn't have done those things. But God made an escape route for us. Praise God He did, too. Because we ain't got nothing good enough to give to Him, or make, or buy, because we're as filthy rags in His eyes. The best things we have are as filthy rags. Christ paid that ultimate price for us. Those nails that were drove through His hands should have been drove through my hands. That should have been me hanging on that cross paying for my sins because I'm not good enough to go to heaven. But God loved the world. And He cared about me. He cared about you. He wanted a way. See, hell wasn't meant for us. It was meant for the devil and his angels. Don't procrastinate things. Don't say, I'll live for Christ tomorrow. I'll tell somebody about Jesus tomorrow. Be that light in the world. Whenever Jesus died on that cross, a legal transaction was taking place. He took the sin penalty that we would have to pay. But other people can't see that. That's why to live for Him is so important. Anyway, that's the message the Lord laid on my heart. I guess I'll turn the service back over to Brother Steve. Let's stand together.